Americans know the drill. TV talk show hosts describe the latest political controversy in melodramatic tones. Then they trot out each party's pit bulls from a large kennel of smart, sharp-fanged pundits who are always on call, straining at the leash to verbally maim each other. Here's an example from ABC TV. Kiki McLean is the Democrat, Ralph Reed the Republican.
John Kerry's moving out with a very compelling message of change in the economy, which is bleeding jobs under George Bush, and change for this go-it-alone foreign policy, which has been disastrous.
Look, the American people just don't know that John Kerry's voted 350 times for higher taxes, that he voted to kill 27 weapons systems entirely.
You know,
he was for the Iraq war.
What's all this bickering about, and how did it become such a staple of American politics? Virginia writer B.J. Rudell, who wrote a grassroots account of presidential campaigning called Only in New Hampshire, says each side employs these combative surrogates for the candidates in order to energize the base of already committed voters.
They're there to get people who are watching at home saying, yeah, you go get them. That's what I want to hear out of my side. In the process, the candidates can really take the high road, look more presidential, seize on issues and discourse that tap into the all-important independent voters who generally swing each election.
Ned Barnett has fed political attack dogs raw meat as a speechwriter for Democratic and Republican gubernatorial and U.S. Senate candidates. Mr. Barnett, who now runs a political consulting firm in Las Vegas, Nevada, says many of these shouters can write thoughtful position papers one minute and go ballistic on cue the next.
Most of these people are sophisticated strategists. They're studying polls, news articles, the comments made by their candidate and by the other candidates, and they're coming up with very carefully crafted analyses on what to say, how to say it, and then they turn on the attack dog switch, throwing verbal rocks at each other. Facts are distorted or totally ignored in the effort to make enough noise to drown out the other side, but they're not going to accomplish anything. Nobody's going to be persuaded.
Wrong, says one expert on the art of persuasion. Helen Davis, the author of the book The 21 Laws of Influence, says attack dogs do score points with viewers and even change some minds.
If you look at the major talk shows and you look at the listenership, 8 million white men listen to a certain talk show host, and his programming is all about screaming, and they have the mentality of screamer du jour. If the screamer du jour happens to have a soundbite that they like the day before the election, that is exactly what they're going to make their voting decision on.
Helen Davis says the only way to stop the madness, as she puts it, is for one side's surrogates to refuse the bait, let the other side rant, and then respond calmly and quietly. Of course, Ms. Davis admits, TV producers would immediately scratch such a rational person from future appearances. Many Americans who describe themselves as ordinary citizens and political moderates, as 60-year-old Linda O'Connor does, say they're sick of the political sound and fury. Ms. O'Connor runs a small business outside Chicago.
I'm offended. We turn it off half the time because too much conflict. It's a confirmation to other countries that we're rude and that we're not considerate of other people. Instead of a discussion, more like attacking each other, screaming and yelling, just to kind of vent.
So if political attack dogs repulse thoughtful voters, why are Americans seeing more and more of them on television? Ned Barnett says it's simple. Like on-air brawls among jilted lovers and made-for-TV contests in which participants will do just about anything to win money, attack dog matches make lively television.
People will tune in to see that. It's like you drive by a building that's on fire and you can't help but look. It's kind of a dirty little pleasure.
And so the political gladiators strap on their talking points and step back into the ring.
The 3 million people who don't have a job from under this president recognize where change isn't. And it's not with George Bush, it's with John Kerry.
That's just simply not true. The president's not going to be satisfied until every American who wants a job
has
a job.
There's a whimsical Warner Brothers cartoon series about Ralph the Wolf and Sam the Sheepdog. After wishing each other good morning and punching a time clock, Ralph tries every trick to catch Sam's sheep, and Sam fights him at every turn. When the work whistle blows at the end of the day, they punch out and wish each other a good evening. Observers of political attack dogs see a parallel, because these bitter foes can often be seen sharing a laugh over a beer or rubbing elbows at the same dinner party once the television lights are turned off. It's as if all their bluster is, at least on one level, a carefully choreographed show. I'm Ted Landfair.